Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Psyche Theory. Today it is episode 9 and we're going to talk about three important lessons you must know about self-sabotage. So the three lessons I've got it from the book The Mountain Is You. The Mountain Is You is written by Brianna West. So if you want to check it out, you can just go buy your book, get the book and read it into details. So I'm gonna go through the description a little bit before we talk about the lessons that you must know about self-sabotage in this book. So this is a book about self-sabotage. The Mountain Is You. Let's talk about why we do it, when we do it, and how to stop doing it for good. Coexisting about conflicting needs creates self-sabotaging behaviors. This is why we resist efforts to change, often until they feel completely futile. But by extracting crucial insight from our most damaging habits, building emotional intelligence by better understanding our brains and bodies, releasing past experiences, and learning to act as our highest potential future self, we can step out of our own way and into our potential. For centuries, the mountain has been used as a metaphor for the big challenges we face, especially ones that seem impossible to overcome. To scale our mountains, we actually have to do the deep, internal work of excavating trauma, building resilience, and adjusting how we show up for the climb. In the end, it is not the mountain we master, but ourselves. So this is the description of the book, and as you already know, it's mostly talk about the self-sabotaging behaviors that we as a human do and how to overcome it or to even better ourselves in the future or gradually becoming better. So the first important lesson that I've learned particularly from this book is from the very beginning of the chapter, it's called "There is nothing holding you back in life more than yourself," right? There is nothing holding you back in life more than yourself. So if there is a gap between where you are now and who you want to become, however, whenever you try to change it, it always meet with resistance or pain or discomfort. It almost always because of your self-sabotaging behaviors. Sabotage look like to be a product of low self-confidence, self-hatred and all, or a lack of willpower. In reality, it is just a way of your unconscious mind or unconscious needs telling you that they must be fulfilled by the self-sabotaging behavior. To overcome this, obviously, it's not an easy task. Like most of us have already encountered in life, the challenges, the things that we do to ourselves that are detrimental to our health, to everybody around us, to us, ourselves. We need to go through the process of deep psychological excavation, pinpointing the traumatic event, releasing the unprocessed emotions, and finding healthier, better ways to meet our needs. And to do that, you must know this. So there are a few important points that you must know about self-sabotage. One is that self-sabotage is not always obvious at the onset. For example, in the book, the writer talked about Ko-yung. When he was a child, he fell on the ground in school and hit his head. When he got hurt, he thought to himself, yes, maybe I won't have to go back to school now. Though he is known today for his insightful body of work, he actually didn't like school or fit in well with his peers. Shortly after this accident, Jung began experiencing sporadic and uncontrollable fainting spells. He unconsciously developed what he would call a neurosis and ultimately came to realize that all neuroses are substitutes for legitimate suffering. In Jung's case, he made an unconscious association between fainting and getting out of school. He came to believe that the fainting spells were a manifestation of his unconscious desire to get out of class, where he felt uncomfortable and unhappy. Likewise, for many people, their fears and attachments are very often just symptoms of deeper issues for which they do not have any better way to cope. So that is an example of how self-sabotage is not obvious to many of us. Second thing is that self-sabotage is a coping mechanism. A coping mechanism is the things that we do to cope with the challenges, the difficulties that we meet in our life. Self-sabotage is what happens when we refuse to consciously meet our innermost needs, often because we do not believe we are capable of handling them. Sometimes we self-sabotage our relationship because what we really want is to find ourselves, though we are afraid to be alone. Sometimes we sabotage our professional success because what we really want is to create art, even if it will make us seem less ambitious by society measures. Sometimes we sabotage our healing journey by psychoanalyzing our feeling because doing so ensures we avoid actually experiencing them. In the end, self-sabotage is very often just a maladaptive coping mechanism, a way we give ourselves what we need without having to actually address what that need is. And the third point about self-sabotage is that it comes from irrational fear. Sometimes our most sabotaging behaviors are really the results of long-held and unexamined fears we have about the world and ourselves. Perhaps it is the idea that you are unintelligent, unattractive, or disliked. Perhaps it is the idea of losing a job or committing to a relationship, for example. These beliefs become attachments over time. The fourth point is self-sabotage comes from unconscious negative associations. Self-sabotage is also one of the first signs your inner narrative is outdated, limiting, or simply incorrect. Your life is defined not only by what you think about it, but also what you think of yourself. Your self-concept is an idea that you have spent your whole life building. When we self-sabotage, it is often because we have a negative association between achieving the goal we aspire to and being the kind of person who has or does that thing. If your issue is that you want to be financially stable and yet you keep ruining every effort you make to get there, you have to go back to your first concept of money. How did your parents manage their finances? More importantly, what did they tell you about people who had it and people who didn't? Many people who struggle financially will justify their place in life by disavowing money as a whole. They will say that all rich people are terrible. If you grew up with people who told you your entire life that people who have money are this way, guess what you're going to resist having, right? So you're not gonna earn more money because you associate money with people who are rich but do bad things. For example, another point that should be pointed out is self-sabotage comes from what's unfamiliar. Human beings experience a natural resistance to the unknown because it is essentially the ultimate loss of control. This is true even if what's unknown is benevolent or even beneficial to us. Self-sabotage is very often the simple product of unfamiliarity, and it is because anything that is foreign, no matter how good, will also be uncomfortable until it is also familiar. In sum, we are programmed to seek what we have known. Even though we think we are after happiness, we are actually trying to find whatever we are most used to. The last point is that self-sabotage come from belief system. What you believe about your life is what you will make true about your life. That's why it is crucial to be aware of this outdated narrative and have the courage to change them. Maybe you have gone through the majority of your life believing that a standard $50,000 per year salary at a decent company is the most you'll ever be capable of. Maybe you spent so many years telling yourself, I'm an anxious person, you started to actually identify with it. In other cases, your limiting belief might come from wanting to keep yourself safe. So this is the first thing related to the first lesson that I've learned from the book. There's nothing holding you back in life more than yourself. So you should recognize self-sabotaging behaviors that you have and how to get over it. The second point is there is no such thing as self-sabotage. It is a little bit confusing because the first one we talk about self-sabotage, and the second lesson is we actually say that there is no such things as self-sabotage. Well, let me explain it to you. When you habituate yourself to do things that move your life forward, you call them skills. When they hold your life back, you call them self-sabotage. They are both essentially the same function. So what is self-sabotage? It is when you have two conflicting desires. One is conscious and the other is unconscious. You want to move forward, but for some unknown reasons, you are not. For example, you want to lose some weight, you want to be healthier, you want to look great or something like that. But then you find yourself binge eating or eating unhealthy food. And another question is that, what does self-sabotage look like then? Well, it has to say exactly what it is, because certain habits or behaviors can be healthy for one person and can also be unhealthy in another context. However, there are signs that the writer have mentioned that you're probably in a cycle of self-sabotage. One of them is resistance. Resistance is what happens when we have a new project that we need to work on and simply can't bring ourselves to do it. It's when we get into a great new relationship and then keep building on plans. It's when we get an amazing idea for our business and then feel tension and anger when it comes time to sit down and actually get to work. We often feel resistant in the face of what's going right in our life, not what's going wrong. When we have a problem to solve, resistance is usually nowhere to be found. But when we have something to enjoy, create, or build, we are tapping into a part of ourselves that is trying to thrive instead of just surviving, and the unfamiliarity can be daunting. The second one is that you are hitting your upper limit. As discussed before, there is only a certain amount of happiness that most of us will allow ourselves to feel. Gay Hendricks called this your upper limit. Your upper limit is essentially the amount of good that you are comfortable having in your life. It is your tolerance and threshold for having positive feeling or experiencing positive events. When you begin to surpass your upper limit, you start to unconsciously sabotage what's happening in order to bring yourself back to what's comfortable and familiar. The third point, uprooting. Uprooting happens when someone finds themselves jumping from relationship to relationship or changing their business website again and again, when they really need to focus on confronting relationship issues when they arise or taking care of clients they already have. In uprooting, you are not allowing yourself to blossom. You are only comfortable with the process of sprouting. Another point is that you are becoming a perfectionist. Perfectionism. Right? When we expect that our work must be perfect the first time we do it, we end up getting into a cycle of perfectionism. It's also one of the signs that you are in a cycle of self-sabotage because you unrealistically expect that you become the most perfect self in your life right now without trying to learn first, without accepting that you might fail first. And perfectionism holds you back from showing up and trying or really doing the important work of your life. This happened because when we are afraid of failing or feeling vulnerable or not being as good as we want others to think we are, we end up avoiding the work that is required to actually become that good. We sabotage ourselves because it is the willingness to show up and simply do it again and again and again, but ultimately bring us to a place of mastery. Another point is limited emotional processing skills. Your emotional processing skills are limited. In life, there are going to be people, situations and circumstances that are upsetting, infuriating, saddening, and even enraging. There will likewise to be people, situations, and circumstances that are inspiring, hopeful, helpful, and truly offer purpose and meaning in your life. When you are only able to process half of your emotions, you stun yourself, you get stuck. You start going out of your way to avoid any possible situation that could bring up something frustrating or uncomfortable because you have no tool to be able to handle that feeling. This means that you start avoiding the very risk and action that would ultimately change your life for the better. Another one, justification. Your life is ultimately measured by your outcomes, not your intentions. It is not about what you wanted to do or would have done but didn't have the time. It's not about why you thought you couldn't. It's just whether or not you eventually did it. When you are in a pattern of self-sabotaging behavior, you are often treating those excuses the same way you would treat measurable outcomes. You're using them to make yourself feel momentarily satisfied, using them as a replacement for the accomplishments itself. For example, when we have a goal, dream, or plan, there is no measure of intent. It is only whether you did it or did not. For people who self-sabotage, they might find excuse or justification to feel good at the moment about not doing the things that they need to do right now. Another one is disorganization. By living our life and spaces in disarray, we're not just mindlessly forgetting to take care of our surroundings, we are often actually creating distraction and chaos that serve an unconscious purpose. Without cleanliness, we create fewer opportunity for ourselves. Nothing positive nor beautiful flow from chaos. Deep down, we know this. Often, when we are self-sabotaging through disorganization, like we don't make our bed or don't organize our room, this might be the way of your unconscious self telling you that you're being self-sabotaging. Next is that you have an attachment to what you don't really want. When you find yourself struggling with something, you have to ask yourself, do I actually want to do this? Do you want the job, or do you just like how the title sounds? Are you in love with the person, or do you like the idea of the relationship? Are you still holding an outdated idea of what your greatest success will be? And if so, what would it look like to let that go? But some of us don't want to be, for example, your parents might want you to become a lawyer and you don't want, but you can't let it go because you like the title of it, or you want your parent to be proud of it. You get attached to the idea of being successful for your parents instead of yourself. That is what it means to get attached to what you don't really want, and it is also one of the behavior that consider to be self-sabotaging. Another one is judging others. We all know that gossiping or judging other people's life and choices is not a healthy or positive way to connect with other people. However, it does far more damage than we realize, as it sets up barriers to your own success. If we feel bad about not being as successful as another person, we might try to find something negative about them to make ourselves feel better. If we do that every time we come across a person who is more successful, better, more beautiful, we begin to associate that level of success with being disliked. And sooner or later, you don't want to be successful, you don't want to become better yourself. Next, pride. Pride is often involved in many of our worst decisions. Sometimes we know a relationship is wrong, but the shame of leaving seems worse than staying. Sometimes we start a business and realize we don't really like it very much, or refuse to accept that we need to change or ask for help. In these cases, our pride is getting in the way. We're making decisions based on how we imagine people view our life, not how they actually, yeah, this is not only inaccurate, but it is also very unhealthy. Next is guilt of succeeding. In a world of so much pain, horror, and misfortune, who are we to have happy, abandoned life? That's the thought process that so many people go through. One of the biggest mental barriers people face is the guilt that comes with finally having enough or more than one needs. When it comes to success, guilt is an unfortunately common emotion, especially for good-hearted people who want to do the right thing and live authentic life. Next is fears of failing. How often do we not even attempt something because we're afraid to look bad or fail immediately? I think this one is kind of related to the other one, perfectionism. Like, we want to be perfect all the time, so we afraid of failing. So instead of doing stuff that we need to do, we just not doing it at all because we're afraid of, okay, if I'm gonna do it, I would fail and everybody would laugh at me or something like that. So this is also not healthy. The other one is downplaying. When we downplay our successes in life, we are either trying to make ourselves seem less impressive to others, so others do not feel threatened and therefore like us more, or we are trying to avoid the sense that we have made it because we are afraid of peaking. Though so many of us long for the moment when we feel as though we have finally arrived and achieved the measure of success we so deeply desire, we often receive them only to then feel as though they aren't that great, impressive, or that they don't make us feel as good as we thought they would. This happened because of downplaying. The idea of having made it makes us afraid that we are reaching the pinnacle and therefore we'll fall off of it. If we acknowledge that we are right, what goals remain? It is a feeling akin to death, so we instead find another measure to work toward. Likewise, when we are around other people, we do not stand firmly in our pride because we are taught it is a bad thing, and when done in an unhealthy way, it is. What are we sensing is the feeling of being better than others because we have achieved something. This makes us uncomfortable because we know it's both untrue and unkind. The other one is unhealthy habits. This is the most common way that people sabotage their own success, by maintaining habits that are actually keeping them away from their goals. This is when someone declares that they want to be in better shape but doesn't change anything they do each day to facilitate that, or when they want to make a change professionally but find ways to make it difficult, if not impossible, for them to actually do it. However, the goal is not to have to get to a crisis point in your life before you can become aware of ways you're holding yourself back from living peacefully and comfortably. Next one is being quote-unquote busy. Another very common way that people sabotage is by distracting themselves to the point of being completely phased out of life. People who are constantly busy are running from themselves. most people don't do the things that they think should be done because of the excuse that they are busy. But actually, they're just running from maybe the fears of failing, maybe the fear that they are not perfect the first time. So this is also a way of self-sabotaging as well. Next is spending time with the wrong people. It's true that so much of our life is shaped by the people we spend them with, and the company you keep is another common way that people self-sabotage. Suddenly, you can think of some people in your life who stress you out, make you feel insecure, and yet keep you coming back for more. This relationship exists at the lighter end of the toxicity spectrum, but they're self-defeating nonetheless. If you find yourself, you know, going back to toxic people, wanting to spend time with friends who make you feel insecure, or parents who make you feel like you don't deserve to be loved or something like that, this is also one of the self-sabotaging behavior you are in. The last one is your worry about irrational fears and least likely circumstances. You're probably familiar with this at least to some degree. You have a weird or highly unlikely thought that evoke a deep sense of dread, fear, and series of doomsday scenarios in your head. You then keep coming back to it to the point that it even controls some part of your life. Irrational fears, especially the kind that are least likely to become reality, are often what we project real fears onto. So these are all of the signs that should probably tell you you are in a cycle of self-sabotage. In the books, the author also mentioned how to solve this problem. So if you want to go into detail, you can again get the book and read. So the last lesson that I've learned from the book itself is called, you don't change in breakthroughs, you change in micro shift. If you are stuck in life, it's probably because you're waiting for the big bang, the breakthrough moment in which all your fear dissolve and you're overcome with clarity. Many of us expect that if we achieve something big, we're gonna be happy, we're gonna be content with it, but it's not true. For example, okay, one day I'm gonna be happy because I have $1 million, right? But some people, even if they have already achieved the goal of having $1 million, they're still not happy because we don't change in breakthrough. We don't change because we achieve something big. We need to gradually transform ourselves every day to be better. Breakthroughs do not happen spontaneously. They are tipping points. For example, in the book, the author mentioned that a mind-blowing singular breakthrough is not what changes your life. A micro shift is. You want to be in better shape. The thing that should make you happy is the habits that you adopt every day. The healthy food that you eat every day, not the image of having the best body you have ever achieved one day. You don't need to wait until you feel like changing to start changing. All you need is to make one micro shift at a time and then let the energy and momentum build. So this is the end of this episode. This is the longest one I have ever recorded. So if you like this kind of episode, don't forget to like, follow, subscribe and all of that stuff. And see you in the next episode. And one more thing. Don't forget to get the book The Mountain Is You by Brianna Weiss to get the full details of how you can transform your self-sabotage into self-mastery. Don't forget to do that. Good luck and see you later.